Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Michael Austin, Project 21 ambassador at the National Center for Public Policy Research and professor of economics at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. Michael, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Newell. Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, we think about this meeting with President Xi Jinping from China, the first meeting I think that the president's had in 9 years with Xi. Obviously, it has been talked about a lot, bannered about a lot as to what the expectations are and what outcomes that each may want to achieve. There's a thought process out there that it might not be very much at the end of the day. Your thoughts?
Yeah, those motivations are really important. I would kind of look at it and saying China wants access to America's market. And so President Trump's job is going to be making China pay the price of admission. Beijing's biggest economic motivation, I would say, is stability. They want predictable access to American consumers, investors, technology, business relationships, all while avoiding deeper trade pressure. And I think Trump's leverage is that China still needs the American market more than American workers need another one-sided relationship. And so I think the message will be relatively straightforward. If China wants access to the American economy, it has to deliver on real value to American workers, farmers, and manufacturers.
You know, what's interesting is that China wants stability, they want predictability, but the fact of the matter is, in my view, they don't deliver it, right? We never know exactly what rules of engagement that they're actually going to embark upon, or otherwise what rules they're going to play by and which ones they're going to ignore.
I think that's completely fair. You know, China says they want to, you know, manage this relationship, but I think President Trump is absolutely right when he says he wants to rebalance it. Because for years, Beijing has benefited from a system where America bought their goods, bought Chinese goods, China built their factories, and Washington, frankly, just looked the other way whenever the rules were bent or they weren't followed at all. And so Trump's economic agenda, I really do believe, flips that script by using tariffs. They'll use purchase commitments. They'll use market access, all of that as bargaining chips rather than, you know, historical precedent of just using those as diplomatic inconveniences. The White House has framed its China policy around rebalancing trade and putting American workers, farmers, and businesses first. And so this is not about starting a trade fight. I really think it's about ending a bad deal.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. You have to go in, though, a little suspect, right? Recently, we just learned of this mayor in the outskirts of L.A. Delivering messaging from China on behalf of China from that podium, from that position of authority that she has. I find it very interesting that China is getting down to a very granular level as to how they are trying to influence the thought processes of Americans in our country.
I think that's a really good point. You know, this is, of course, a friendly summit, but at the very same time, you have to acknowledge that China views us as an enemy. And so what we need to do as Americans, and this is definitely what President Trump is trying to do, is he's trying to isolate what China wants and then use it to actually turn it to an interest for America. You know, so economically, for example, as I said before, China still wants a relationship where it can grow, it can export, it can advance, and that it can keep pressing its geopolitical claims without paying a price. I think Trump's best move is to offer that stability, but only for concrete behavior. And economically, that might mean more U.S. purchases. Politically, it might be less on espionage, you know, less coercion, more pressure on Iran, and, you know, less restraint towards Taiwan. You know, stability, I think, is valuable, but, you know, President Trump just has to make China earn it.
China, several years ago, embarked upon a bunch of different programs with some pretty nifty little names on these programs, but really it was about economic development and pumping in significant amounts of money into underdeveloped countries who ultimately learned that they were being used, that they were being leveraged and manipulated. And it seems as though their attitude towards allowing China to come in and invest in their countries is not as strong as it once was. Would you agree or disagree with that? And if so, if you agree, where do they go from here? Where do you think their next step is?
Well, I think a lot of, you know, countries that get these investments from China are realizing it comes with so many strings that it really doesn't benefit their country. It just benefits China, as opposed to, you know, a capitalist perspective where, you know, both parties can improve themselves and see a growth and well-being. But that is not what China promotes. And I think a lot of countries are now questioning whether they should turn back to the U.S. to try to, you know, build more of a free market type enterprise than more of a Marxist one. Additionally, when you look at, let's say, the American markets, I think something that Trump most certainly needs to look into is farmers and farm income in America. You know, China has a huge population to feed, but they've been turning themselves off to the American farmer. I mean, there are many reasons to buy reliable American soybeans, meats, grains, whatever types of agricultural goods. And because China needs that food security, America, I think, should use that as leverage to make sure that its needs are supported by American farm families. So completely flip the script to make China more dependent on us than what China is doing to other nations.
Michael, you follow this very closely. We hear all kinds of information on all sides of this issue as to the Chinese economy and as to how they are actually doing. From your perspective, what do you see as the state of their economy? I know a lot of times it's very limited information that we get, but I was kind of curious what your thoughts were about the state of the economy there.
You're exactly right. Whenever you hear any types of economic statistics or measures from China, you should always take it with a grain of salt, because first and foremost, nothing comes out of that country unless it's been, you know, approved and rubber stamped by the CCP. And they're obviously very much focused on, you know, putting out a certain image of their nation, and they won't let any bad information come out. However, there are certain fundamentals about their economy that are important to note, and one of which is that despite all their posturing about being against American interests, they are largely dependent on American investment and the American consumer, because we are still, of course, the largest country, you know, largest economy out there in the world. Additionally, another part of their economy is their leverage on what we call rare earth or critical minerals. These are minerals that are used in a lot of electronics. And so as the world becomes, you know, increasing its use on technology, that gives China an advantage to supply, you know, the materials and whatnot needed for technology. And so they might understand that that is, you know, not just commodities, but that gives them an advantage over defense systems, energy infrastructure, vehicles, electronics, any other types of advanced manufacturing. But it also just goes to show why Trump's response has to be about more domestic production of those rare earth minerals, and then working with our allies to boost our supply chains and put pressure on China not to weaponize that supply. Analysts have identified rare earth and critical minerals as one of the most central battles surrounding this Trump-Xi summit. And so no nation can be economically strong, you know, if its factories depend on minerals controlled by China. Trump's going to try to break that and weaken the economy that way and make it more reliable for the American economy.
Let's pivot, if you would, to conflict. Obviously, we know about this situation with Taiwan. China has one theory about what ought to happen. They ought to be much more under their control. Obviously, Taiwan views itself as a self-governing democratic island. And, you know, we have been making a series of pretty significant arms sales to China here most recently. Got to imagine that's got Xi Jinping and others a little nervous. Do you think that's something that's going to be bannered about here in these meetings and brought up as to trying to put pressure on President Trump to back off?
Absolutely. China wants influence over Taiwan. Trump should do what he can to make peace in that Taiwan Strait, but make it a condition of economic stability. Taiwan is not just a security issue. It's central, you know, to our conversation about, you know, semiconductor supply chain, those rare earth minerals that powers AI, cars, phones, and whatnot. China does want Washington to soften its position, but Trump's leverage is that any move against Taiwan is going to threaten global commerce and impose costs on their own economy. And I think there are some reports that were saying Taiwan and U.S. arms sales are, yeah, going to be among the most sensitive issues surrounding that summit. So protecting Taiwan is not only about, you know, democracy and deterrence, but it's also about protecting supply chains that really power American prosperity. And we can't let China think that they can bully us in backing off.
Let's move to the Middle East real quick. I have had a very difficult time trying to get my head around what it is that China's actually doing at the present time relative to Iran. It seems as though some of the messaging, I think, is more misdirection. And then some seems as though, you know, a little bit of an embrace, but a lot of confusing. I'm confused. And I don't know if you feel the same way, but I can't find a theme or a straight line of consciousness in how China is reacting to this Middle East conflict.
That's a fair point. And I think it goes back to the fact that the CCP, of course, wants to put out an image of strength, you know, to the rest of the world. And so if they see instability happening in the Middle East that is directly related to, let's say, you know, hurting American interests, you know, they're going to puff up their chest and you know, maybe even speak on egging it on. But economically, it's a different story. And it's why you're seeing, you know, the misalignment when it comes to messaging. I think China does want the Iran war contained, because obviously the war is, you know, is hurting its own energy interests. And Trump knows that. And I think he can even use that as leverage. China is really exposed to the energy market instability, and they have a strong interest in getting Iranian oil. And of course, what this war has done is created a global shock that really has damaged their growth. And so I think President Trump has an opportunity to make clear that, you know, China cannot seek economic calm with the United States if it's going to give hostile regimes more room to maneuver against American interests. If China wants stability, it cannot fuel instability against America.
Yeah, I guess we take the wait and see. There is I was very not surprised, but interesting to see how many major industry leaders are joining the Trump group to China. I guess that is a sign of for everyone to open up our economic relationships.
Yeah, I would agree. Trump is effectively saying America will trade, will negotiate, will keep the peace, but only from a position that protects American workers, American security, and American leadership.
Well, time will tell. I guess they start here shortly, right? He's landed there this morning, and I guess they're approaching some of the first meetings that they will have here shortly, and we'll find out exactly as they roll out some of the messaging as to what's actually happening.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. And I look forward to seeing that. Clearly, America wants peace and prosperity. But under President Trump, you know, China doesn't get to take advantage of us by doing that. So I look forward to seeing what they come out in this summit in the next few days.
Absolutely. Michael Austin, National Center for Public Policy Research and Professor of Economics at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time and your insight, and have a great week.
Thank you. You do the same.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.